Hello, Blind Cool Tech listeners. This is Tony Broom from Henderson, North Carolina. And I'm recording today in Audacity, the free sound editor, sound program, whatever it is. And there was a question given about the headset or headphones. The headset I'm using is a Radio Shack headset. I'm not sure the model, but it is the current one. I'm sure it's pretty current, that has the mic boom, that, you know, the combination of the headphones. This is a stereo headphones, by the way. It's not monaural. Instead, the stereo headphones part, which is currently unplugged, and the microphone part is plugged up. There are two plugs, of course, as a lot of headsets are for computers. Yeah, the one other plugs are for the headset headphones. The other is for the microphone. And the mic, of course, there's no batteries, but I'm not sure if the mic is a some kind of condenser mic, you know, electric. It does not have a battery power, but it could gain power of such from the PC. I'm not sure. I know these mics have, and most computer mics have, a double line jack. Even though the mic is not stereo per se. And I would like maybe somebody to send a comment either on the list or whatever to me or something about that, because I'm not really sure why that they have the double lines for the double line plug for the PC microphones. Anyway, this mic is, again, as I did the last podcast, is laying on top of the monitor. And you know, it's just up there. And I'm talking to you using the Audacity recorder, or Audacity sound editor, in recording on my PC. Enjoyed very much many of the podcasts. Have not had a chance to listen to them all of late concerning the space casts, and I'll have to get a portable situation so I can move around and record mine before I can do that. Of course, right now I'm kind of limited to the PC or the laptop, and the laptop does not have a microphone, so I'd have to take this headset and, you know, plug it into the laptop before I could do that. I don't want to ramble before I want to get to my subject today. I don't have a bunch of answers for people, and I hate that. I want to talk to you about something that I myself do not have an answer for, and that is anti-spyware in accessibility. That's a mouthful of a title, and it really says for all for what it is. I mean, it's just anti-spyware in accessibility. Many of the anti-spyware programs today, most of them are inaccessible. And whether you're talking about Microsoft Defender, as the new name for the program implies, used to be what was it? Microsoft Anti-Spyware Beta. I ran that for a good while. And the program updates itself when it needs to. And it, you know, it's all right for what it is. But on my system, it never detected anything, which you'd say, well, that's good, isn't it? Well, sure it is if it's really true. I just don't, you know, you'd run other anti-spyware programs and find out that they would detect things on there. And the Microsoft anti-spyware program did not. It never had a detection. I know that there were cookies on the machine, and of course there was something said about Microsoft anti-spyware not having inclusion for cookies on the detections. I'm not sure why they did that, but anyway, that's their position that they have taken, evidently. The if you want a program, if you want an anti-spyware program that includes the real-time monitoring, you know, monitoring incoming programs or whatever, incoming traffic to keep down or keep out spyware, then that's the program to get, because it doesn't You know, you don't have to pay anything for it, and of course it's still in beta phase. And as I understand, it will be included as part of licensed Windows users offerings. In other words, you can just get it. The downside is, of course, inaccessibility. It's just not accessible. And I know there are ways to do it. Some of you guys on here will surely figure out a way. But for the access technology programs that I have used, it is not accessible. You just have to trust the program to update itself and or plunk around until you may be lucky enough to get on the update button. And you may be lucky enough to get an update that way. The program interface is just, it's not accessible. You cannot tell what's going on with it. You can't tell where you are. So that's just, I don't know how to say it. They don't use standard buttons. I do know how to say it. I don't know another way to say it. It's just say it the way I'm saying it. It's frustrating. Really, it is, because this is one of the organizations, and I'm not saying anything against Microsoft that hasn't been said before on the lists and in the with the CSUN that was concerned about accessibility, and your ACB conventions are concerned about accessibility, and all of us are concerned about it. It's something that should not be an afterthought, but you know, this is the software giant, but yet they have been slack to incorporate accessibility. And then, you know, the Windows validation thing that went on and on for a while, and now they have finally, apparently they've gotten a way that you can validate your Windows at least. I mean, I understand that piracy is out there, but you know, flagging us true people, it's not going to be a way. It's not going to keep out the pirates. It's not going to keep them away from doing with their piracy deal. It's just going to make it harder on people who are genuine. And when you go to a bona fide computer store, or you shop online, or whatever you do, and you buy yourself a computer, and you get Windows, I mean, it's genuine. There's no other way. How else would you not know? How else would you know if it were not a genuine copy? And then, you know, if you have computer dealers that are putting out copies of Windows that are not real, I mean, you know, they're going to stand to lose a whole lot and be in a whole lot of trouble, and they're not going to do that. The proper monies and whatever are, you know, they're paid to organizations like Microsoft to be able to have copies of the operating system, and therefore, of course, they're passed on to us, and we pay for the PC. But anyway, I'm not talking about any companies or talking about any individuals. I'm just talking about accessibility or inaccessibility. And so that's the program. There's another program that is real popular now called SpyBot Search and Destroy. SND for short, and some of us just refer to it as SpyBot. This is a program that's not as old as the Lavasoft Adaware, but it certainly has been gaining a lot of usage in the last couple of years. It is fairly accessible, but there's still problems with it because first of all, it's just a scanner. It does not do real-time protection. And the software itself is free, even though they do have a donation tab. And you get asked for donations, and they ask for it on the website, too. And that's okay. I mean, if you want to ask for donations, that's fine. But, you know, I don't know how I feel about Well, I do know how I feel about it. I have mixed feelings about, you know, freeware or donationware. It's what I like to call it. So is it freeware? Is it not? Anyway, you can download the program and use it, and you don't have to pay for it. But you can donate if you want to. The problem with the SpyBot, a couple of problems as far as on my system. I can't speak for anyone else but myself. Other than the accessibility issue, I think I can speak for us all on the accessibility issue side. The program seems to do well for a little while, and then it starts detecting problems that it says one or more problems cannot be removed, and then it invites you to restart your system and run the program again, and of course you do, and it ends up with the same results. So you just kind of go around and around with that. And as far as I can tell, you cannot tell what the list is. You can't tell what the problem is. You just go through the scan. It's like going through it again and again, and you really don't know what the culprit is. You don't know whether it's an advertising cookie. You don't know whether it's some application that's some kind of file that SpyBot is picking up on your system that it doesn't like, and it's trying to, you know, maybe flag it as spyware. That's a problem that I have with it. The other problem is the updating thing. It's really cumbersome to update the program. You can, of course, open the application, and it's with FreedomBox System Access. It's the access product I use. That is pretty straightforward in the user interface window to begin with. You open the program, and it's got a couple of buttons you can tab to. One of them is search for problems. The next one is fix problems, I think it is. And then the other one is check for updates. And you can tab to those buttons and activate them with the space bar or enter or whatever. And the thing about updating, though, is there is no indication as to what is going on in the process. You just kind of have to check the screen and in review mode, some kind of review mode, or use your arrow keys up and down or your read all command, and kind of see what's going on there. A lot of times it will give you a list of updates. The list will have things like, it may have like a database, definitions database. And then there may be one or two optional updates, like a language pack or a skin. You know, skins deal with how the program looks, which really says a lot for us, right? It does us a lot of good. But, you know, you can change the look and the appearance of the screen or the how the application itself looks visually. And so those are updates that you can check or uncheck or whatever to get. It's hard to tell a lot of times whether they're checked or not. And then when you finally do the update, it's hard to tell how much of the process is done. And when you finally determine the update is done, then you can try to check for problems at that point, and then let it find problems. The older version of SpyBot, and I'll call it SpyBot for short, but the older version of SpyBot had this sound that it made when the scan was through, so that you'd know, of course, that it was through, and then you could check to see if it had found problems. Well, now on the newer version, they don't include that sound. They include the ability to put the sound in there. In other words, you can browse and find yourself a WAV file to indicate to make the sound. But you know, you're having to do all the legwork yourself. These applications are real geeky. They're not straightforward to just put this on your computer. Let it update itself when needed, check for spyware, and fix the problems. I mean, you know, why be so around the house? Why do you have to go all the way around the house just to get to the dining room table? You know, it's more of an expression, but still, why can't there be just a simple, user-friendly, anti-spyware program, and not none of this new stuff that they're coming up with now where they are... You know, they give you this program or at least allow you to try out this program, and then you run the program, and it, oh yes, you've got spyware. You really need to do this and so, and they end up giving you a bunch of false positives, so that they themselves can incur more financial gain. And I mean, you know, there again, it's jabbing the end user in the back to try to make monetary innovations for yourself. And of course, we all know that's not right. The idea of anti-spyware software in the first place should be to get rid of the problem, not to add to it. Boy, I tell you what, this old preacher boy really sounds confrontational today, doesn't he? Well, not really, but you know, I'm looking out for folks, trying to look out for us, and people that can't speak for themselves is what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Because, you know, unless somebody says something, then everybody will just, it'll just keep going on the way it's been going for so long. Well, there are all kind of applications out there. And then, of course, let me say that the SpyBot, as far as I can tell, when you do find problems, it does a pretty good job of allowing you to take care of the problem, you know, to fix selected problems, and then it will give you a confirmation, and then of course you just proceed to do it. There are various and sundry settings that you can change in that program. It's got, I mean, just all kind of things that you can change. You know, I believe in giving the user power over an application. At the same time, don't make it so geeky and interfacey that it's almost impossible to use, just for general, you know, everyday application. I mean, when you get into Notepad or WordPad, Microsoft Word or whatever, Outlook Express, Internet Explorer, you know, you just want to open the application, you want to do something in there, and you want to get out and you want to go. Well, that's the same way it should be with anti-spyware or antivirus, which may be another podcast. But anyway, of course, many of you are using the AVG antivirus program, which is a nice free antivirus program. And they have really come a long way in the last while with screen reader inclusions. There are keyboard shortcuts for about everything you need, and you can tab to what you need, and you can either go under the menus with the Alt key and go to the menus there, or else you can tab through the main window interface, and you can activate controls there. So, you know, this is the kind of situation I'm talking about. Whereas one of these, somebody needs to come up with a program that is user-friendly enough to where you can just have standard buttons and controls, checkboxes, whatever, that you can use with your tab, shift tab, arrow keys, and only revert to mouse keys when it's absolutely necessary. So that's my take on everything. There are other programs, anti-spyware programs out there, and some of them, of course, are easier to use than others. Most of them have a trial period and end up wanting to charge you $20, $30, $40 for a year subscription. In a lot of cases, just for an anti-spyware scanner. And to me, that's, you know, it surely should be a free alternative with a decent scanning engine that would be able to detect most, if not all, of spyware and just do away with it. So anyway, I wanted to pass this along to you, and I thank Larry and the kind folks for letting us do this. I don't vent things very much. I do not have this kind of personality or whatever, but I wanted to talk to you. I feel like this is a listener audience. It's not just a particular product clientele, but this is people from all over the world who are blind and visually impaired. And I feel like that you are exactly who I need to talk to. I'm not a salesman for anyone, but when I see something that works, I'm going to tell you about it if I have the opportunity. If I see something that's not working, I would appreciate you giving me the opportunity to tell you that too. So any thoughts, of course, are welcome. My email is tb777 at myfreedombox, all one word, myfreedombox.com. My website is www.tonybroome.com. Thank you for listening and putting up with me, and hopefully we'll have a gentler podcast next time. Blessings for everyone.